Hawk fans, and welcome to a special edition of Tales from 54th and City. My name is Joe Greenwich, and I will be joined today by a pair of soon-to-be Hall of Famers as we highlight the eight outstanding women that will be inducted into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame on October 15th. Later in this episode, we'll chat with Sue Yagelski from the class of 1996, who is one of just three Hawks to claim an individual Atlantic 10 Women's Cross Country Championship. She also helped lead the Hawks to a team title during her time in the Crimson and Gray, and was named the 1996 Atlantic 10 Indoor Track and Field Performer of the Year. But first, we welcome one of SJU field hockey's all-time greats. She went 4-for-4 as a first-team All-Atlantic 10 selection and was tabbed for All-Region honors three times. Graduating as one of the Hawks' career leaders in goals, assists, and points, she still holds a share of the program's single-season assist record. We're happy to have 2007 graduate Nicole Antonini with us. Nicole, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
First of all, congratulations. Quite the honor to be inducted into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame. How exciting was it to find that out?
It was pretty exciting. When I first received the call, I was a little shocked, as it's been quite a while since I've graduated, so you don't really think about those moments anymore. I guess almost 15 years later, so you don't expect it. But then when I started sharing the news with some people and their reactions, I realized, okay, this is pretty big. So it was definitely really cool. And to see who some others that I'm alongside, it makes a lot of the years of what I've put into playing more than just the 4 years at St. Joe's. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears over the last, 20 some years of playing field hockey. So to see it all kind of end up in this, with this, is pretty cool.
You mentioned a phone call. Who was it that informed you of your induction?
It was Don DiGiulio, which was even cooler to hear from him. I had thought he retired and was fully, out. So it was nice that he did say he went outside of his, normal job duties at this point right now to make that phone call, just because we did have a relationship when I was there. So it was really nice to be able to catch up with him too.
I think I can safely say that Don will never be fully out.
Yeah, I think he specifically said he's not ready to sit down and read a book yet. So, yeah.
Your induction and the induction of the seven other honorees, it comes in conjunction with the celebration of the 50th anniversary of Title IX. What does it mean to you to be a part of the class that has been chosen to honor that occasion? Obviously, we've talked to some of the other honorees, and it's noticeably like depending on when they got started playing, in time, how prominent Title IX was in their lives. But were you aware of, the importance of it as you started, playing sports as a youngster and then into college?
Yeah, I mean, I think I knew the importance of it. I think the one thing with field hockey, especially in the U.S., is that it's very female based, right? So there was never really, I don't think, like, the Title IX situation really played too much of a part for us, because there wasn't really a differentiation. But I understand the importance of it. We learn all about it when you're growing up, and what it meant, and the change of sports for females. And I think especially just in today's world, with everything that has been going on, it just means even so much more to be included in this class, for sure.
I mentioned, when you were getting started playing as a youngster. So how did that happen? What was it that drew you to field hockey? Were you a multi-sport athlete? Was it, an older sibling or somebody you knew that played and wanted you to get involved? What was it that lit that spark?
Yeah, I actually grew up in a neighborhood where every girl on my street had played field hockey. I was on the younger side of that group. So I was just watching them as much as possible. Some of them were in college, a few at Penn State at the time. Some of them were still in high school. So I would say just, being involved and around it, in where I grew up, and it is still an area where I think a lot of field hockey players are produced. But we didn't really have leagues and anything when I was younger, not like girls do now. So it was really just, being around those that I was in, growing up alongside. That's kind of what got me going. And I was playing other sports. I was kind of playing softball, soccer, everything you do when you're a kid. I guess I did that through high school all the way with all the sports, and field hockey was just the one I decided to roll with.
what was it that brought you to St. Joe's when you were looking at colleges? And obviously, you know, you had skill and talent and the ability to play at the next level. So when you have your choice of schools, what is it that made St. Joe's stick out to you as the place you wanted to be?
Sure. Yeah. St. Joe's actually came in pretty late for me. There wasn't a head coach at the time of my recruiting season. So I was pretty set on between one or two other schools. And then when I heard from, it was Aislinn at the time, she was the assistant coach. I was most excited because it was closer to home. And I really wanted my parents and my family to be able to try and see me play as much as possible, just because of all the effort that they had put in through my life at that point, up until that point. And the other schools that I was looking at were anywhere from like 4 to 6 hours away. So I knew they would have made those drives too, but I just wanted to try and see what would make it easier on them. And being 45 minutes away from home couldn't have been any better to have that fan base there and that support.
You talked about growing up and seeing a lot of college players on your street. First of all, I don't think people realize quite how big a hotbed for field hockey this area is. Mm-hmm. So many of the best players in college and on the national team come from Southeastern and Central Pennsylvania. Did you end up becoming a role model maybe for some of the kids younger than you that you knew? Did some of them follow in your footsteps?
I mean, I would hope so. It's actually funny you ask that right now, though, because I think I have one of my best friends from high school's daughter is playing right now. And she has been, you know, reaching out to me often and telling her about my stories and everything like that. And she's in growing up in the same neighborhood that I grew up in. So whether it was an immediate, you know, with the girls right below me, but just hear it even now, like knowing that there's some people looking up to me at, you know, 15 years later from my college experience is pretty great.
We've been asking all of the inductees to think back to their time on Hawk Hill, and we've asked everyone to share a favorite memory or a story. And we always give the caveat, you know, something you're comfortable sharing, something you can share publicly about your time on Hawk Hill. Is there something that when you reflect, and I'm sure there's a lot of reflection going on with the Hall of Fame coming up, but is there something that sticks out as your favorite memory or a story that first comes to mind if someone asks you about your time in college?
Sure. There's probably two, one field hockey related and one not. I would say the not is when we were number one in the country. I was fortunate to, in basketball, not field hockey, I was fortunate enough to be there when Jameer Nelson and Delonte West were seniors and we got to make that run. So that was my freshman year. So it was pretty awesome way to start college. But then, you know, in terms of field hockey, we got to play on Finnessy Field when I was there. And I think being in the middle of campus and playing any game was always great because you always had people walking by. There was always people stopping to watch us play. But there was one game under the lights. It was against the University of Delaware, and they were like top 10 at that point. And I remember we went into overtime and I scored the game winning goal in overtime. And I feel like that moment, I just remember it, and I'll definitely, you know, one of the highlights for sure, not only being in Finnessy Field in the middle of the campus, but under the lights on a Friday night, couldn't have been better.
You mentioned being number one in basketball, not field hockey. The Hawks getting closer as each week goes by this season, off to a great start.
Probably another poll coming out right now, but yeah, hopefully they dropped again.
I say great start. There's only a few games left in the season, but having your freshman year be the year that the basketball team goes 27-0 kind of skews your experience a little bit for the following years, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Your expectations tend to get a little out of whack after that.
Yeah.
Was there a challenge that you can think of? Because everything, even for Hall of Famers, isn't always, you know, perfect. It doesn't always go to plan. Is there something that you can think of as a challenge that you overcame during your time on Hawk Hill? It doesn't necessarily have to be a field hockey thing. Maybe there was something, you know, academically, some people have trouble adjusting to the college lifestyle with class and with their sport. Is there something that sticks out to you as a challenge that, as I've put it to others afterward, you know, you recognized as something that may have, you know, had an impact that you came out better off on the other side?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it with what your suggestion was, but it's definitely the balance. You know, being able to go away from home for the first time as a teenager, and you know, trying to keep up with academics and also having some sort of a life with your friends, and then also playing a Division One sport, and juggling all three, it's tough. And I think there's definitely ups and downs over the 4 years. You know, some years were easier and some years were harder, but I think coming out of it, looking back, it's made me in today. Like I'm a planner. I'm an organized person. It's also probably due to some of, you know, my job, but I think it really has helped me prioritize my life in general. So.
Last thing we've been asking everybody, we'll ask you the same, and it kind of follows on the previous question, but is there a lesson that you take from your athletic career or your academic career into your postgraduate life? Is there something that sticks out? Maybe it was a coach said something, maybe it was something you had to learn on your own that has stuck with you and that you kind of come back to all these years later.
Yeah, I think it's probably just, you know, being a team player is the number one thing that I've taken with me in every aspect of my life, every relationship. Understanding like how personalities are different as a captain, you know, I had to make sure I was keeping everybody as happy as possible on that team, but at the same time, like understanding when there were issues and what was triggering specific people. So just having like empathy and compassion and being able to be a team player in anything that I'm doing, whether it's at work or whether it's with my family or my friends, my relationships, is definitely something that I think I have taken with me and use every single day.
Well, Nicole, thanks for joining us. Thanks for hopping on and talking. And of course, congratulations again on your upcoming induction into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame.
Thank you so much, Joe. This is great.
Our thanks to Nicole Antonini from the class of 2007. We'll be right back with another Hall of Famer right after this. Today's show is brought to you by Mainline Health. Four suburban hospitals, four top regional rankings, and a proud sponsor of the St. Joseph's Hawks. For award-winning human care, visit mainlinehealth.org. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here on Tales from 54th and City. Our next guest from the class of 1996, Sue Yagelski. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
First of all, congratulations on your induction into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame. How exciting was it for you to get that notification?
Oh my gosh. When Coach Glavin called me, I was so out of the blue. I had no idea. I'm like, what could this be about? I know they had a recent event with the 40th anniversary of women at St. Joe's and track and the 100th anniversary of track in general. And I'm like, oh, this is related to that, you know? So I called him back and he gave me the news and I was stunned. I was stunned. It's quite an honor.
So that's how you found out from Coach Glavin. I wondered if maybe he would have enlisted Coach Quinn to give you a call.
No, I didn't. It was straight from Glavin, and that was exactly how it should be, right?
This year's induction is being done in conjunction with celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX. And you also mentioned it's also the 40th anniversary celebration of the women's track program at St. Joe's. So what did it mean to you? Obviously, there's the excitement of just being chosen for the Hall of Fame, but what did it mean to you to be a part of this particular class, eight women with outstanding careers on Hawk Hill in honor of that anniversary of Title IX? How did it feel to, like, when you took a second and really thought about how that felt and what that meant to you?
It's pretty special. It's pretty special to be part of that class. You know, when I first started running in high school, it didn't really strike me that people like my mother had no opportunities like that. And because of my participation in track and cross country, my mom started getting involved in running herself as, you know, a middle-aged woman. And as she got older, she started joining, you know, 5Ks and trying, you know, to do that from her end. And she started winning her age group. And it was really like amazing to me to see this woman who could have had this amazing track career, cross country career, running career, who didn't have that chance because it just wasn't there for her. So in retrospect, being part of this class means something very special to me because of the role track and cross country has played in my relationship with my mother over the years and her joy and love of running. Now, my mother has passed away, but I know she would be exceptionally proud of me. And I know that this honor is as much about her and me together as mother and daughter as it is about my time at St. Joe's.
We hear so many stories about kids following their parents into sport. It's not that often you hear about a parent following their child into a sport and then having success.
She was so good and she would have been amazing. You know, like I'm one of six kids. So she dedicated her life to raising us. And so like for her, running was kind of an afterthought, but she was so good at it. She was so good at it. She would have like, I marvel at the idea of what she could have done if those opportunities had been there for her.
Did any of your siblings run competitively or was it just you?
My older brother, so the brother that's just 2 years older than me, and he's actually part of the story about how I got involved in running. So,
well, then let's have that story. You mentioned starting in high school. Running is a thing that a lot of athletes do to prepare for their sport, you know, to get loose. It's part of the worst part of training for most people.
Yes.
And yet for some people, it's what they choose to do. So how did that come about that running was the thing that you ultimately chose to be your athletic pursuit?
I would love to say it was like my calling and I always knew I wanted to be a runner, but honestly, it was like kicking and screaming. I went to a fairly, you know, normal size high school, but the track and cross country program was not one of the big draws. My brother had joined because a bunch of his friends were running. And so he was a junior when I entered in freshman year. And he's like, Sue, just, you know, like, try out for cross country, like just like get the information at least. So I, you know, I sent my name as like, oh, maybe I'd be interested in this, but I really didn't want to do it. And so the first day of summer practice comes along and I don't go. Like I decided not for me. And he talked to his coach and he told his coach that if his coach called me directly, like on the phone, I would never be able to say no. And that is exactly what happened. The coach called me up, was like, we could really use you. We need another person. And I couldn't say no. So I showed up the next day for summer practice. It was miserable. It was awful. And here we are, like, I don't know, like close to 40 years later. And I would still be running if I could. So it was a game changer for me. The people, and I would say that about my time in high school. I would say that about my time in college. Like it's the people that keep you coming back to something like cross country, like, because there are times when the training is just miserable. Like it's everyone else's punishment, you know, like go run three laps of the track because you didn't do your play right. And it's all we do.
I think part of it is also that, you know, when you go out on a run, you go through all that trouble. And then in the end, you're exactly where you started. Like if I run 3 miles, I want to be 3 miles away. Right.
Yes. It's true. It's true. Like you, so many people will say to me or have said to me over the years, you know, I only run if someone's chasing me. Well, in a cross country race or in a track race, they kind of are.
Like, right. Exactly.
You know, there are people chasing you. It's just not for your life. Right.
Well, fortunately. Right.
Yes.
So you got into running in high school, almost sounds like a little bit of a guilt trip is what got you into it at first.
A little bit.
What is it that brought you to St. Joe's to compete competitively in college?
I got the taste of success a little bit in high school. Again, you know, big fish, small pond story. But I started to get better and I started to get better. And the more that I put into it, the better I got. And, you know, some of it was just better relative to me, right? You know, that inherent, you know, I can always get a PR. And I knew, you know, by the time I was a junior or senior that I was really serious about running and I wanted to try to do it in college. Now, in New York State at that time, we had one Division I track program, and it happened to be at the University of Buffalo that my older brother already went to. So I was at that point trying to get as far away from that as possible. So I just, you know, I put feelers out. I was, you know, like trying to find somewhere in a city, you know, just to experience something different. And went and had the, you know, the big pyramid conversation with Coach Quinn. Anyone who has been through a recruiting meeting with Coach Quinn has heard the, you know, building blocks pyramid story. And when it came down to it, the combination of the right kind of program for me and truthfully the financial assistance that I was able to put together made it possible. And I don't regret a second of it. You know, there is, I would not have been as successful in track and cross country anywhere else. It was just the right place.
And the evidence is there's a first place Atlantic 10 cross country champion trophy with your name on it.
There is. There
do
is.
Do you have that trophy or plaque, or is that something that sits at St. Joe's? Yep. You do have something,
I
right?
I do have one. Yep. Yep.
Do you see it very often? Is it displayed prominently?
It is not. It is not. It's in a box upstairs.
Well, hopefully we'll be getting it out before the induction, right? Well, you talked about how you got to Hawk Hill. One of the things I've been asking, and it's great to hear different stories that, yeah. that folks from different sports and that come from all over and different sorts of you know, different locations and different circumstances. Everyone ends up together on Hawk Hill, and you all come together and you all create memories together for yourselves, for and with each other. What's one memory that you think sticks out, or one story maybe that the caveat, as I always say, that you're willing to say, that you're willing to share with folks.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
What would you say is maybe your favorite story if you're put on the spot about your time on Hawk Hill?
I was thinking a lot about this. There's so many, right? There's so many like little goofy stories. I come back to the people. And just about a week ago, I found out that one of my dearest teammates is now down at UPenn struggling with cancer, out of the blue diagnosis, fighting the good fight. And so when I was thinking about how to share my time at St. Joe's with you, I thought about the first time that I saw her. We came to campus 2 weeks early, and we would go on this week camping extravaganza where we'd go down to Maryland and we'd spend a week training, like just intense training, doubles in the heat, just cross country all the time. And here I am, this girl coming from New York to Philadelphia. I'm there with my dad. I hadn't yet turned 18 years old, so I'm like a young freshman. And I go into residence life, which was in the bottom of Lafarge at the time. And I go walking in, and there are these two girls standing there also getting their keys. And they're like outgoing. They're these bubbly girls. They're sisters. The one's a freshman coming at the same time as me. The other's a sophomore who's transferring. And, you know, they're excited, and they're like getting their keys, and they're talking about it all. And they look at me and they're like, "Oh, who are you? Like, what's your name?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm Sia Yagelski. And are you here for cross country?" I'm like, "Yeah. Are you here for cross country?" "Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm Ave. I'm going tomorrow with you too." And so she was like the first person on the team that I met. And we sort of went, she was in Soren, and she went and put her stuff away, and I put my stuff away. And then we went down to the Hall of Fame room, which is where we were having our little physicals and like meeting as a team for the first time. And as we're both sitting there, this third girl walks in, and she, like, we both, I think sort of like simultaneously and not out loud, we're like, "Oh, she's got to be an upperclassman," because she just kind of came walking in. She was a little bit late, but she like looked like she like knew the place. Right. And that third girl turned out to be Patrice Gallagher, who is, like when I think of my time at St. Joe's, I think of those two women. I think of Ave French Beatty now, and Patrice Gallagher. And we were like three peas in a pod, if you would. We went through that first camp experience together. We like grew together as athletes and friends. And to this day, we try once a year. Now the pandemic got in our way, but once a year we get together and we do like our little cross country track reunion. So like right now, as Ave is struggling, as she's struggling, I just think back to how lucky I was that she was that first girl that I met on campus, and that my whole experience at St. Joe's like started there with her.
That's really what it's all about, right? It's the people that you meet and that shape everything. And obviously we wish her the best and hopefully things will work out. And it's great to hear that after all this time that you're still in touch with and still close with the people that you competed with, that you spent so much time with.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can't not be. I mean, you are just immersed in it. Like, right. And there aren't many other people on campus that know what it's like besides those people.
Right. Now, to change gears a little bit, the general public might think that what you would do every day constitutes a challenge to be overcome when you're out there running all that distance, all that time, early mornings, early evenings, late afternoons, whenever, wherever. But is there a challenge that you can think of that you had to overcome during your time on Hawk Hill that really, when you look back, maybe it was a turning point for you in your career academically, athletically? Maybe it was something where you looked at it and you said, you know, that experience really helped me, you know, maybe go to another level or to really to get through my time in college. Is there a challenge or one, you know, specific set of adverse circumstances that comes to mind?
Yeah, I don't think it's an unusual challenge that I faced, but I was exceptionally homesick that first semester at school. I wanted to leave. I wanted every day to leave. I think the thing that got me through was the running, like the having that. In the end, when I made the decision that I was going to stick it out and I was going to stay at St. Joe's, that I loved it enough that, you know, my family would still be there and I could still go back and, like, you know, see those people. I made the commitment that I was going to make the most of that experience at St. Joe's, that I wasn't going to let those 4 years go by without becoming the best runner that I could be. And all of the decisions that I made about getting up at 6 a.m. to run those doubles or staying up till, you know, 10 at night to do the second double because I didn't have time to do it in the morning. All of those came back to that decision that, like, I'm here, I'm committed to this, and I'm going to see this through to my fullest potential. Because if I had backed away, if I had chosen to go to a different school or, you know, go home so I was closer to my family, I said it before, the only place I was going to be the runner I became was at St. Joe's. So the decision was there. And every other choice I made along the way was a result of that commitment.
Well, the last question that I ask, and you may have answered it already with that, but we'd like to hear about maybe one lesson, maybe the biggest lesson, maybe the most important lesson that mm-hmm. you took from your career at St. Joe's, athletically, maybe academically, whatever it was, the biggest lesson that you take forward and that, you know, even all these years after graduating, you still kind of come back to and still kind of guide you.
Well, I have the funny one that I have to say for all alumni of St. Joe's Track and Field. And that is Coach Quinn's favorite Quinnism: if you don't have it with you, you can't put it on. So I still pack for trips with that motto in mind. Like, if you don't have it in that bag, you're not going to be able to put it on. Like, if you need it, if you think you might need it, pack it. Now, my husband does not always like that when we go on trips, but that is like the one practical that I took away. I think the other more like ephemeral one would be this idea of perseverance. I am a middle school math teacher. I teach seventh grade math. And there is this general notion that people are either good at math or bad at math. My time as an athlete has proven to me that we aren't born one thing or the other. You know, that we all have inherent talents, but with perseverance and persistence, and most importantly, by failing and then standing up again and trying to figure out what to do differently next time, we can all be successful. So while I may have like lived that through my track, I use that now in my teaching of math, that yes, you know, you might not love math, you might not even like this topic, but you can do it. You are a mathematician. You're going to get things wrong. It's going to be hard, but with that perseverance and that persistence, we can all be successful at it.
It's an incredibly valuable lesson that I think a lot of us would do well to remember a lot more often than we do.
True.
Sue, thank you so much for calling in. Sue Yagelski, soon to be St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Famer. Induction coming up real quick. Congratulations again, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sguhawks.com/podcasts.